Judith, and thank you very much for coming to our podcast this week. And can you firstly tell me and your listeners all about your business, what inspired you to start your business, and how you help your customers?
I can indeed, and it's lovely to be here. Happy Friday, and thanks very much for having me on this, what feels like a very long 4-day week. But I'm a copywriter, so I deal with most on and offline types of copy. I specialise in creating value-rich, income-generating content that helps businesses with their awareness, their sales, their sign-ups and their visibility. So I primarily deal in what's known as conversion copywriting. I'm not a technical copywriter. There are other copywriters that deal in those sorts of fields. I specialise in content for selling your product or your service. I have been involved in certainly sales for the entire of my career. I started off as a salesperson, actually. I was a sales manager, area sales manager, sales director in the hospitality industry for many, many years. But I'd always loved writing. I was always top of the class in English, you know, when I was a little child, a high school kid. And I did my degree in English and then never did anything with it after that. I was too keen to sort of get out and make my mark on the world at that point. I'd had enough of academia. So once I'd established my career in sales and I was making my way up the corporate ladder, I had a great time and loved it. But I used to really, really love the marketing projects that involve copywriting. So as time went on, I started to sort of mingle and mesh the two, to intertwine, shall we say.
Two sets of talents.
Yeah. I've worked for myself for 14 years and I've always offered services on both sides, for sales consultancy and various marketing projects. And then I really started to fine hone in on the copywriting side in 2008, 2009, when, of course, we had the credit crunch, as it was called, that developed into a full-blown recession, and all the sort of sales consultancy was just wiped out completely. You know, nobody was spending on that side at all. So that's when, you know, I'll admit, out of necessity, I really drilled down into the copywriting side of my business. And since then, it's become the core of my business.
Very good. And obviously, during COVID, people were at home, they were spending more time online and even doing that extra research before they bought things, and people, local shopping went up during COVID. But just to give you an example there, as you're saying, you're doing copywriting for business. At the end of 2020, it went up 60%, the amount of content that was going out on LinkedIn. And you could say one side, you could say more competition. How do I get eyeballs on the content for the business I'm promoting, and obviously get people react? But there was another side to this, that 26%, the percentage went up at the end of 2020, that people were spending more time. So that was more on LinkedIn, for example. So that gave more time to be looking at content. So how would you say you create content that actually stands out, that talks to the customer? And is there any particular type of customers or businesses that you work for, and that copywriting is especially important, you would feel?
Well, you know, it's essential to any business, isn't it? You know, it's words. Without them, we're not going to get very far in life, quite frankly, are we? It's our means of communication, whether it's written or oral, of letting our target audiences know what services and products we actually have to offer. The types of businesses, just to give you a very brief overview, I work with a lot of corporate businesses, for example, people like solicitors, accountants, HR and recruitment, insurance companies. Now, let's be honest, their subject matter isn't necessarily very sexy. It can be quite dry. My job really is to almost be a portal, I guess, to make their dry subject matter accessible, conversational, engaging, and inviting to the people who are potentially interested in being their customers. So I'm not a law expert, for example. Of course, I have to do research, you know, so that I'm factually correct and, you know, I can write with a degree of authority. But I don't need to be an expert because the people that I'm writing this copy for are not experts either.
Yeah, very true. And also,
So we don't want the jargon, you know.
Yeah.
We don't want finefalutin sort of copy, you know, anything too highbrow. We really need to pull it right back to almost the lowest common denominator that is going to strike a chord with a person who's looking for a conveyancing solicitor and not really sure what they're doing. Yeah, actually, that makes sense to me. I'll get in touch and make an inquiry with that solicitor.
Yeah, I agree with you, because what actually happens is a lot of experts, fair enough, if you're talking to other people in your discipline, you can use all the jargon and everything, but your customers don't naturally use the jargon. They actually mightn't understand all the words solicitors use. They might be thinking of, I want to buy a house, I want to sell a house, not the word conveyancing mightn't come naturally to a lot of people. And so that is very, very important. And another area, you know, online, when you're creating content, we have all these people that just scan. You could have spent ages doing this beautiful content, explaining very easily, you know, what it's like if I was, for example, if you're writing something for a solicitor, if you were to write a post, and then someone just scans and they only get a fraction of maybe the content you wrote. So what recommendations would you have that you can still get your message through to the scanners and skimmers, as I would call them?
I think with the scanners and skimmers, which we all do, you're absolutely right, Rosemary. It's down to not only the words you use, but also the structure that you use for your content. So I would, everybody has the, you know, their own little processes and ways of doing things, don't they? The way that I work, I would always go with a great headline. You know, that's non-negotiable, a great headline and a great call to action at the end. So the two extremes, you will get some copywriters that will say, I do that first or that first. There's differences of opinion, but it doesn't really matter. And then within that content, I always aim to answer two or three questions. So that's my next job, depending on how long that piece of content is going to be. And those three questions will become the subheadings that will be nicely bulleted. So you're not just doing blocky copy. You know, that's really off-putting, isn't it? Like we would read in a novel, for example. You know, that's fine. We used to read in blocky copy there, but certainly not on a post. We want things very broken down to make that piece of text, as you say, scannable, and those nice little ingestible nuggets that we're looking for as we're scanning through. So lots of subheads, bullets, lots of white space.
Yeah, and it also makes things easier to understand, because if we went into a restaurant and we wanted even a cup of coffee, and you were in Seattle where they do hundreds of types of coffee, if someone then started reading the hundreds type of coffee, you probably then wouldn't know what coffee to have. Where if someone says, would you like a cappuccino or would you like Americano? Oh, that's an easy decision. And then you're more likely to react. Because it's human nature. If we're confused, we kind of get paralyzed. And when you're producing content, it's very, very important to make it simple, that there's just not too many IDs. And I agree with you there. And also, obviously, you're obviously doing the writing. But we also, when we look at a blog post, as you said, the questions, you know, is it, what's in it for me? You know, am I going to spend my time reading your blog post that it is hitting my problem, my challenge? And also, would you have any tips or advice on, do you do kind of help with the formatting if, say, people were using a graphic or something like that, or are you just focusing on the written content?
I focus on the written content. Also, I mean, heavens, but you know, as we all know, you know, the things crop up and we, you know, we go with the flow, don't we, and roll with it. But just coming back to what you said then, Rosemary, is such an absolutely key point, isn't it? Of being as engaging as possible in your content. And it's something that people very easily fall down on. And it can be quite difficult. It's about speaking to them rather than about you. And selling an outcome and a feeling rather than a product or a service. It's almost skipping that step, isn't it, really, and saying, when we've done this for you, or you've bought our product and used it, this is how you're gonna feel. You know, it's like those classically, you know, in courses that I've done and things, you know, a classic one that I will always come back to as an example is an anti-aging face cream. And there will be some perfect headline like, look, have radiant skin and look 10 years younger without going under the knife. You know, you're always selling that benefit, aren't you? And a feeling rather than a pot of cream.
Yeah, and what you said as well there is it's talking to people, not at people. And like that was one of the things, like the earlier stat I said about conversations went up 26% at the end of last year when COVID hit on LinkedIn, because people had lots of questions. Is if they had a business, is my business going to be around in a year's time if there is going to be a lockdown, or it could have been someone who had lost their job, or it could be someone who had created this great product that was perfect if we were all at home taking exercise or whatever. So it is actually, as you say, speaking to people, being specific and making it easy to understand. Now obviously we know copy is not going to disappear, because the written form we need in so many ways, and even, you know, and it's not just on, you know, as you would do, you know, it could be a brochure, it could be a blog post, it could be a PDF. You know, as you said, you're working for accountants and solicitors. Now if they sent out copy with spelling mistakes, a bad representation of their business, you know, people will think, look, if you aren't going to put the effort into that, will you look after me? That's how I think a lot of people do feel, because it is a representation of the business. Now, taking into account that we both know that copy isn't going away, that maybe how we produce copy varies because If we're not all at home in lockdown, it might be a physical written brochure. Then there's the blog post, then there's a guide or a help. For example, when your solicitor could be giving you advice if you wanted to buy a house, that kind of thing. So taking all that into account for now, and hopefully COVID won't be with us forever.
We
What would
hope.
your recommendations for coffee, for businesses for now and for when COVID ends to help businesses grow and thrive?
I think we've certainly seen a shift, which I believe will continue, with a more compassionate tone of voice. Obviously, in view of what we've just been through this past unusual year, I think that goes very much hand in hand with brand authenticity. But that's a phrase that we're ourselves in marketing circles we are hearing bandied around a lot over the past 12 months, which again is going back to what you were saying, Rosemary, about. We want to be talked to rather than talked at. I think it's going a step further with brand authenticity and also with brand values, I think are becoming extremely important in the content that businesses are putting out there. We are quite influenced by what a company believes in. These days, going back to the brand authenticity, if that makes sense, we like to see businesses putting their flagpole in the ground next to a cause we believe in, and we're actually interested in that. We are prepared to now boycott businesses whose practices might not be aligned with our own personal visions and values. So I think that's something really, really important for businesses to bear in mind. Otherwise, I would just say coming out, fingers crossed, I won't talk too soon, but coming out of COVID, as we hope we are by now, I would just recommend to it companies stay visible, keep giving value. And by giving value, you don't have to give everything, but give value to your readers. Keep it real and understand that your target audiences are going to be in very different places coming out this side of the pandemic. So it's a juggling act, really, to adapt your content to that.
Yeah, because things have changed, as we know, even
Things have changed. Yeah, some people will be having boom time, other people will be absolutely on the knees, and that will continue.
yeah.
So, you may have both of those target audiences within your client base,
Yeah.
and it's how you approach that and empathize with both sides of the market.
Yeah, exactly. Because for lots of different things, is even what kind of content people have been consuming, how they're consuming it, where they're consuming it, what device they're consuming in it. Because how you read content on a mobile phone will be very different from a laptop, etc. So you have to understand that, and the more you understand what your customers use, it's easier to create content that is easier for them to consume as well. But you made very, very valid points, and it obviously ties in with your sales experience because at the end of the day, we all need to create content that is customer focused. The needs of the customer that they want to, if it's your present customer, that it builds that extra loyalty to continue doing work with you. And also to that if it's someone who doesn't know you, that it instills trust that it's quality, it's clear, it's concise. So Jude, that you have given lots of great advice, and I would like to say a special thank you for coming on to this podcast. And as well as that, what I will do is I will also write a blog post. So I'll include the podcast and the blog post together. And of course, I'll be sending them on to you. So thank you very much for your time, Judith.
Not at all. Thank you. It's been an absolute pleasure. I could talk for hours. you wouldn't want that.
There's no problem. And thank you very much.
Thanks again, Rosemary. A pleasure.
Bye.
Many thanks for listening to this podcast. This is Rosemary O'Shaughnessy from digitalcontentmanager.ie. I design WordPress websites. I train on Zoom. I offer workshops. And I create digital content. Why not contact me to book a one-to-one Zoom call so we can have a chat and you can learn how I can help you and your business. Thank you very much for your time. This is Rosemary O'Shaughnessy from digitalcontentmanager.ie.